Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
And it's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. Looked like I just bent my glasses here, pulling them off my head because I put the headphones on over top of the glasses. And that's sure enough going, as they say, that's sure enough going to break those glasses.
Good move.
Well, in any event, we're here until 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. And thank R.C. Collins and Cadet Watson for their filling in last night. I understand it was okay. Margaret, you didn't like it, though.
Well, no one told me that you were going to have these cadets. It was a little bit of a shock, and it threw me off. And I would really appreciate if someone...
You did say something.
I did. I said that R.C. Collins is filling in tomorrow night.
Well, that is an announcement. What about an email? What about some kind... What about a phone call? Or am I just another member of your audience?
Okay, I apologize if I didn't call you. I didn't call anybody. I just said, you know, R.C.'s going to be in. You knew that you weren't coming in, right?
No, I did not know that. I came in to sing You Only Live Twice. God.
Oh, that's... All right, well, I apologize. Did you sing it?
If you call that singing...
Yeah, it wasn't all that good.
Well, I didn't need your opinion.
Yeah, but you said...
It wasn't good.
No, it wasn't good. No, it was lousy. It was lousy. And you don't hear me saying that about my own singing. But I was not able to really get into that. You know I interpret, Phil. You know that, right?
Yes.
All right. So I was doing the You Only Live Twice. So what I love to do, I just love to stretch the boundaries of... I love to stretch the brown... The brown... The brown...
The brown?
No, I don't want to stretch the brown. Let's not start now.
But yeah, but you see, you pointed out. That's where it gets started. You just go, oh, no. Just let it go, okay?
Yeah, but she said it.
I understand. And you with the big mouth, okay? You got to learn how to when to come in and when not to come in. That's the whole thing with you, bud. So you wanted to stretch the boundaries.
Yes, I wanted to. You know that that's what I do. You, for instance, the melody goes, You only live twice. Well, what I like to do, because it's boundary stretching, I like to go, I don't know what the term is, but I like to go, I like the envelope. I like to be in the envelope. Is that it?
Yeah, that's it.
Well, no, you want to push the outside of the envelope.
Yeah.
What does that mean, push the outside of the envelope? I don't understand.
That it's an aviation term that we first heard of in the book The Right Stuff by Tom Wolfe that became a part of the American lexicon, if you will, after that book came out. Pushing the outside of the envelope means, you know, trying things.
Well, yes, that's what I like to do. So, in other words, what I would do is, You only live twice, or so it seems. You see, so what I'm doing is, why do you have that look on your face?
Nothing.
Well, Phil, it looks as if someone just let one go in an elevator. Never mind.
No, Margaret, it was just, it sounded a little unusual, that's all.
That's what I do. That's what I do. That's what I do.
That's what she do.
I'm deciding whether I'm going to go for it right now and take his throat out.
Hold on for a minute. That's what you do. You're absolutely right, Margaret. I'm sorry. It's unusual, but I can well imagine that it's an acquired taste. You're just going to have to face the music, okay? It is. Hey, get me. Face the music. I made a little bit of a, you know.
Yeah, I made a pun. Yeah.
It's good, huh?
Yeah, it's... Wow. Boy, the stuff that gets you off.
Doesn't get me off. In any event, I'm sure it's an acquired taste, one that people will acquire. You're a great singer, Margaret, but you do have an unusual approach to some of these things. Nonetheless, we do thank R.C. Collins for joining us last night and hosting. Tonight we have Don Berman, who will be doing some live race coverage from Dickman Downs. This is a new sponsor on our show. Dickman Downs, no relation to Bud Dickman. Although, Bud, you thought maybe there was some connection between yourself and Dick through an uncle or something?
Yeah, not my uncle, my aunt. I thought maybe, but I don't think so.
This family?
Yeah, I don't think they're related. This stuff, the Anderson Dickman, who started a steakhouse, I thought.
Oh, man, that's not Anderson. No, that's Stuart Anderson.
No, not Stuart Anderson. Anderson Dickman Steakhouse.
The Anderson Dickman Steakhouse, not Stuart Anderson.
No.
Because, you know, we have a steakhouse sponsor already, Ted Bell.
No, yeah, I'm just saying.
All right, so that's going to be later on with Don Berman calling the action from Dickman Downs. This is a harness racing track. because Don is a big harness racing fan. And I don't know if any of you guys have ever followed harness racing. I haven't. I know the late, great Neil Rogers was a harness racing fan. Neil used to go to Pompano Park in South Florida almost on a nightly basis during the this season. And people who like harness racing, they're very passionate about it, just like any sport, anything that anybody's into. It's going to have its aficionados. And I think Neil even owned some horses was an owner and was involved in the sport to that extent. So it's a little weird. It's
what do you mean by it?
Well, harness racing is when you sit behind the horse in a little cart.
Oh, I've seen this. Is it like did the Amish?
Yeah, that's what the Amish had something to do with it.
No, the Amish didn't. What do you mean the Amish?
Well, they got the cart. Did they try to push the cart?
Yes, the Amish wanted they wanted to express themselves through parimutuel betting. Well, I guess they don't bet, do they?
No, they don't bet. I don't think the Amish had anything to do with it. I think it probably is a throwback. It probably got its start when we were, you know, being pulled around in buggies behind horses. And maybe a couple of people said, hey, you know, let's have a race while they were sitting in these buggies. And,
And the gay movement was started.
Ah! Come on!
Are we going to have to put up with this?
Never mind. That's a really stupid thing to say. And nonetheless, harness racing is... Why would you say that, bud?
Yeah, I just...
You know, there's probably... You know, you got to get your head out of your ass, man, because the world is... The world, she is a-changing, as Bob Dylan sort of said. Anyway, so that will be from Dickman Downs tonight with Don Berman and harness racing. A reminder that the Phil Henry Show website is the intergalactic headquarters of our radio show, and while you listen to us tonight, you can also watch us. We're online at philhenryshow.com with a live nightly video cast that is mobile, so no matter what the device, whether it's an iPhone, an Android, whether it's an iPad, what have you, you're out and about, you can take the iPhone with you, or your Android or your mobile device with you, and listen to our show and watch our show. You may not want to look at me, but I'll be there. There's the option, see?
Yes, it's like it's a little television set.
Yeah, it's like a little television set. Now, just to give an example, last weekend we were running the film on Saturday night. We were actually running a movie called Suddenly with Frank Sinatra. That was the one I was telling you guys about?
Oh, that's the one where he plays an assassin, Frank Sinatra?
Yeah.
Is he successful?
Is he successful in what?
Does he kill the president?
No, he doesn't. In the movie?
Yes.
No! Could you imagine that? That's a movie that was made in 1948. And that's the big happy ending that they give people, huh?
Well, Phil, it's Frank Sinatra. Are you telling me that you're going to have him play the heavy and not let him weigh in?
Frank Sinatra took the part because he liked it. He wanted the role. He wanted the part. He took it. It went against type. He played a bad guy. He was great. Anyway, we showed this flick, and while the movie was showing, I had my little iPhone with me, flipped on the movie, drove to the store, drove all through Ventura, just, you know, made a few stops hither and thither. And all the while, there's the movie on the iPhone, and people were saying, now, what the hell are you watching? I said, this is my website. We're running a movie right now. Are you kidding me? One guy actually turned it on, then another guy, then another guy, and then the dude finally just who ran the bar, he threw us all out into the street because we were essentially, you know, bringing our own entertainment in there, and nobody was buying any drinks. All right.
Really?
No. All right, so that's where that's at. So join us at philhenryshow.com, philhenryshow.com, and get a backstage pass. And remember, it's $9.99 a month for thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands and trillions of hours of audio and video, philhenryshow.com. Coming back, we'll have Don Berman from Dickman Downs. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. Have we got a race already?
Yeah, I think he said there's a race that's ready to go now.
All right, so the first race, I guess, we'll be getting ready to go. Don Berman will be calling the action for us. We'll be right back. Phil Henry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show. You're listening to the world famous Phil Henry Show.
And welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. And out at Dickman Downs tonight is Don Berman. And Don is going to be calling some of the racing action there tonight. A brand new sponsor on the Phil Henry Show, Dickman Downs, where they have harness racing, and they also have thoroughbred racing. And we're going to be listening in as Don calls some of the action. Don, as you know, is a Emmy Award-winning news anchor, as well as news director, Channel 19. But he also is a sports reporter as well, and very, very happy to have you with us here, Don. Is this a bit of a new thing for you to be calling horse racing, or you've done this before?
Oh, yes. Well, I went ahead and I took the offer of Dickman Downs to call their racing here on Wednesday night because I wanted to keep my hand in. I thought it would be fun. I thought it would. There was an item in the newspaper today that said something about the fact that there was alimony that needed to be paid. You know, that Glenda and I had a dispute over her spousal support, which could not be further from the truth. And there's also no truth to it. I'm afraid I have to address these. There's no truth to the rumor that my renegotiation's not going well and that there might be a cut in salary. All of that is very, I think it's very specious. I don't think it goes to the heart of the truth of the matter. The fact is, I've always enjoyed horse racing. I've always enjoyed being here at the track. Joe Dickhead is with us, Phil. I know you know him.
Joe, how are you doing?
Phil, I'm doing very good, and it should be a very good night for racing. I'm joining Don Berman here and a lot of the race fans across Southern California, around the United States of America, as we enjoy racing here heading into these spring months. You know, the spring is the time of the Triple Crown. And, of course, that brings all race fans together at a height of excitement. So Dickman Downs is sort of whetting our appetite for that.
And also, Phil, the fact that you mentioned harness racing. Yes, there is harness racing here. Tonight, though, it is thoroughbred racing three-year-olds.
Okay, all right. Sorry about that.
No, it's perfectly all right. We have all kinds of racing here at Dickman Downs. Of course, they have the coffee shop is open and the restaurant at the upper deck is open as well. And people are welcome to the clubhouse. It's open till 11 o'clock tonight. Racing ends at 10:30, but the clubhouse stays open till 11, serving cocktails at your leisure. This is Don Berman along with Joe Dickhead here at Dickman Downs. And with your permission, Phil, we'll get ready to call the first race.
Absolutely. Here is Don Berman then and Joe Dickhead.
So what do you think of this very first race?
I like the first race that they have here tonight at Dickman Downs. We're going to be seeing a three-year-old by the name of Daddy Loves Mommy. Daddy Loves Mommy is a chestnut from the Grovetine Farms in Kentucky. It's owned by Mrs. Lou Welch, and it'll be ridden here by Tommy Golightly. Tommy Golightly, a young steward. He was a young rookie last year as an apprentice. He's carrying 119 pounds on top of the horse today, Daddy Loves Mommy. And the number two slot will be Barclay's Sad Demise. Barclay's Sad Demise being ridden there by Jerry Jones and is owned by the Vesta Group. And it was raised initially a foal at Brotherton Farms in northern Florida, there in Ocala, Florida. So that is Barclay's. The next horse up here in the number three slot is Iran Go Home. Iran Go Home, which is Bob Welch. Again, one of the brothers of the Welch brothers who also owned that number one horse. Kathy and Jerry Welch are the primary shareholders of this. Still, the grandfather owns a number of other horses.
He himself is Kentucky born and bred, if I may dare say that.
The entire family is from Louisville, Kentucky. This horse is a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful horse riding it. And, of course, they had a really good workout this morning. They've got 6 furlongs. Now it looks like they're going to start.
We have not had enough time to give you the entire lineup here, and we do apologize, but we're going to have lots more racing coming up here, Phil. But they are getting into the gate here, so we'll just have to call this race as it unfolds. Now, I do want to mention to everyone our favorite in this, Joe, at least my favorite, is Daddy Loves Mommy. This is a horse that is my personal long shot favorite in this race tonight.
Well, I got to tell you that I don't think, personally, I don't have a lot of faith in that horse. The horse that I do like and the horse that I think is going to win this race is the number 12 horse. This is a horse in the pink and white silks there of John Jodine, and that is Charisma. Charisma there with John Jodine riding, and, of course, that horse is, again, another horse from northern Florida from the Ocala Farms there of Bonnie Turkle.
So there you are, Pitts. I like Daddy Loves Mommy and Charisma. is the horse that Joe Dickhead likes. And I would like to say at this time, ladies and gentlemen, again, so much damage can be done with a terrible, terrible article in the newspaper about, you know, my financial problems. I have no financial problems, ladies and gentlemen. I just happen to love this horse. Daddy loves mommy so much. And I can tell you I've got complete faith in this animal to the point where I went ahead and I put a significant amount of money on the horse.
And would you care to tell us how much?
No. I don't want to encourage betting to that point.
But it is a significant amount.
Absolutely, because I think this is a horse of the future. I think this is a three-year-old you're going to be hearing from this year. And this particular race will be a coming out of sorts because he stumbled out of the gate this last time at bat at Morgantine Downs there in Central California. So now the flag is up. And there they go, and they're out to the lead there. There goes Charisma. Charisma out to the lead. He's being followed there in the number two slot by Barney. And then comes Middle Class. Middle Class being ridden there by an old friend of ours, Tom Tricouli. And here comes Outdoors Long. Outdoors Long in the number four position, number five position. On a plane in the number five position, followed there by number six. Horse is Living Room Fiesta. And we're on the first bend. It is Charisma, and now coming up and just now rounding the bend is Daddy Loves Mommy. Out of the gate in a rather slow fashion, and I don't want to look at the time.
What's the time on Daddy Loves Mommy?
I just said I don't want to look at that. I just don't want to look at it. And now they're coming around that first bend. It's Charisma now opening up a lead there of two lengths. Now comes the next horse is Living Room, and followed by Outdoors Long. Outdoors Long. And in the number four position now comes Light City. Light City is moving into the number three slot, and there goes Daddy Loves Mommy opening up a big lead. And coming up in the rear there on the back stretch, is that Daddy Loves Mommy? No, that's impossible. That's impossible.
There is Daddy Loves Mommy there in the rear there, number six, actually number seven horse there.
As they come down the back stretch, it's Charisma opening up. You got to be kidding me with this Charisma.
I told you I like the horse.
Charisma opening up a lead there of four lengths. Charisma, the four-length lead, followed there by Living Room, and then it is City Traffic and Outdoor Long. In the number six position there is Peace Train, as Peace Train begins to make a move on the outside, and number seven, a good, looks like 12 lengths off the... 12 lengths off is Daddy Loves Mommy. Coming around the final turn here in the race now, ladies and gentlemen. Here it comes. It is Charisma. And there is Daddy Loves Mommy is way in the back. Come on, you piece of gut. Daddy Loves Mommy. Come on. Daddy Loves Mommy is gonna close very, very strong.
You think so?
I know so. Daddy Loves Mommy is going to close strong. Daddy Loves Mommy is going to close strong. In the lead there by 5 lengths down is Charisma. Charisma followed there by Miller Factory. Miller Factory now. Here comes Living Room. Living Room coming up the outside. And it is Outdoors Long there, number four slot. Come on. Daddy Loves Mommy. Come on, Daddy Loves Mommy. It's a beautiful animal. It had a great workout this morning. I watched the workout myself, and it's Charisma by 6 lengths, followed by Living Room in place, and showing in the race here is Outdoors Long. And what a piece of garbage, honest to God. What a nag.
Well, the horse, you liked it.
Yeah, I liked it. What a terrible, terrible showing. They should take that animal directly from the track here, ladies and gentlemen, send it straight to a rendering plant, make it into glue, make it into dog food. What an absolute betrayal, of these great fans today that bet their money on Daddy Loves Mommy.
Well, I don't know how many of them did because there's quite a long shot bet there. That was a 75-1.
I don't give a damn if it's 75. Excuse my language. The winning horse is Charisma. Charisma pays $7.80. The place there was Outdoors Long, paying $4.20. And in the win place in Shaw position is Field of Crickets. Field of Crickets making a close there, and it paid $3. You got to be kidding me. A real, real disgusting display. And we'll send it on back now to Phil Henry.
All right, gentlemen, thank you very much, Don. That's a rough one, huh?
No. Let me tell you something. I don't even know why they let an animal like that out on the track.
Why did you bet it?
What?
Why did you bet it?
Yeah, why'd you bet it?
I bet it because he had a good workout. There's no... It's a piece of... They ought to shoot it. Here it comes right now. It's coming right by our broadcast position. Hey, Danny! Danny! Who's the owner, Phil? Danny Boone. Hey, Danny, shoot it!
get a gun and shoot the thing. Oh, that's not right, Don. I said get a gun and shoot.
Okay,
My God, I didn't know they get all that excited about horse racing.
Yes, they do. We'll be right back. Phil Henry Show. Don Berman from Dickman Downs tonight. He bet a lot of money on that horse, and now he's calling for it to be shot right there on the track. We'll be back. Phil Henry Show.
Oh, no, no. You can't tell me. I'm telling you right now, that horse has no business in the race. They ought to get a gun and kill it.
Phil Henry. Famous Bill Henry Show.
I want to point out something to those of you who may be in a playful mood tonight or whatever. On the homepage of our website, philhenryshow.com, is a picture of me alongside one of Rick Astley, the singer Rick Astley. He's the guy that did that song, Never Gonna Give You Up.
Oh, yes, I remember him, yeah.
Which one's that?
It was a long time ago. It was in the 80s. Anyway, there is a there's a website, and I don't know what the website's called. I think it's something like you so totally look like or something like that. And I could be wrong about all of this, but it seems to me that that's what John did over at LEG. He took my picture as a 16-year-old. That's me at the age of 16, and he fed it into this website. You know, you so totally look like, and it spit out Rick Astley.
Well, you do. I mean, you look just like him.
Well, I wouldn't say you look just like him, but there is a resemblance. He could be like an older brother.
Well, if you want my honest opinion, there's parts of that, it's scary. I mean, it's almost like we're twins.
But you're not that handsome.
You think that guy's handsome? I didn't say he was handsome. I said that we look, you know, I feel bad for Rick Astley that he looks like me when I was 16, you know.
Well, how old is Rick Astley there?
He's probably in his 20s.
So that means you, when you were 16, you looked like a guy in your 20s.
Yeah, I was. Yeah, even then I was getting. Even then I looked old and beat up. So.
Well, you don't look old and beat up, but I do see. Oh, look at that. There's a zit there.
Yeah, there's a zit.
All right, there's a zit. Jesus, 16, man. So if you're of a mind, go and check that out. And while you're there, why not just get a backstage pass at philhenryshow.com, and you could just one fell swoop, one stop shopping, baby. You go, you check the picture out. Hey, what an ugly guy Phil is. There's Rick Astley. Ain't that great? Haven't thought about him in a coon's age. And by that, I mean a raccoon. Okay? Isn't that what that means?
I don't know. Mama, don't check it out, man, if it's racist.
I don't think it is racist. I think it means raccoon. I don't know, man. There's a lot of sayings from the South. Nonetheless, how about this? I haven't seen him in a month of Sundays. How about that?
Well, now, isn't that folksy? You can't get away from it now, Phil. If it's racist, we're going to look it up and research it. If it is, you are in some serious trouble.
Get out of here.
I'm kidding.
Yeah. All right, so what I was going to say is, I was just thinking about the horse racing that Don Berman did. The very first date that I took my ex-wife Maria on was to Santa Anita.
Now, that's interesting. Why did you take her to the racetrack?
Because I've always felt that the racetrack, if you're going to go out with a woman for the first time, you know, here is an opportunity for you to show a sort of a daring side, as well as show her that you got a little bit of money, as well as show her that you maybe got a little bit of juice with the right people. So in other words, you take a girl to the racetrack, you got to take her to a nice racetrack.
Well, what does that mean?
Yeah, what, is there bad tracks?
Yeah, there's bad racetracks. There's all kinds of racetracks. There's all kinds of different neighborhoods. I mean, I don't know. I mean, you asked me a question, I'm telling you.
No, I want to hear. This is interesting.
So you figure you take a woman to the racetrack, you get the car valeted, so that right away is kind of looks cool. Then you go into the, if you can get to the turf club, that looks nice. And by the end of the date, you're down about $500.
No, let's not get to that yet, so go ahead.
Yeah, so you go in the turf club and you scan the sheet, so you immediately look like some kind of a brasso. She thinks, oh, isn't he smart? You know, you're looking at the thing.
Now, what if she thinks you're nothing more than a bum that throws your money away?
Well, you can't come on like a bum. You can't come on. You can't pick her up looking like a bum and driving some bum. I would not suggest taking anybody to the racetrack if you drive, like, you know, a car that's got the floorboards missing or something, you know. I wouldn't say, hey, our first date will be at the track, and you pick her up in a car that, you know, she's got to sit in the back seat or something. So, what are you looking at, bud?
What do you mean back seat?
But the engine's too big?
No, the engine isn't too big. The front seat's busted. She's got to, never mind.
Sounds like you've had experience with that.
You know, I've let me tell you something. I've had all kinds of cars in my life. That's for sure. Anyway, so that's what,
No, go ahead. So you take her to the track.
Yeah, you take her to the track. You're scanning the sheet, so you have, you know. And then, of course, there's the opportunity of winning money. Now, I don't want to hit this one too hard because I don't want to offend anybody. But the fact of the matter is, women like money just as much as guys do, maybe even more.
What does that mean?
I mean, I could give away something right now. This is something Neil Rogers taught me, in fact, down in Miami. I could have a giveaway right now, free. Something free? 90% of the phone calls will be from women.
Yes, because we are worried about our families. You know, that is very presumptuous, Phil.
Don't take it so personal, okay? Yeah, I understand. You got to take care of your family. You got to feather the nest, blah, 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 all that stuff. I get it. You know, I'm just saying, if I gave something away on the air right now, like I said, Uncle Neil used to talk about this all the time. If I gave something away on the air right now and I got the phone lines wide open, 99% of the people that called in would be female.
You have 10 lines open, Phil. How do you get 99%?
You know what I'm talking about.
Well,
99% would be women for all the good reasons that you just mentioned. Not that they, you know, necessarily just want to climb over top of people for free stuff, but I mean, I think it's kind of built into a woman's mind that her job is to, you know, take care of the nest, take care of the home, and she's always looking to...
Yeah, she's always looking for something free. Good God.
Margaret. So, the very first date that we went on was to Santa Anita, and I'll never forget because I grew up in Arcadia, California, and the main center of attraction in Arcadia is Santa Anita Racetrack. And it in the day, when I was a kid growing up, it was a huge, huge business. There were people, I'll never forget, it was the screwiest thing you ever saw in your life. I went to grade school. I mean, I went to first through eighth grade. In Catholic school, it's first through eighth grade.
Yeah, they don't do no middle school in the Catholics, do they?
No, they didn't do middle school then.
Yeah, that's very weird.
Yeah, well, the Catholics, they're always going against the grain. What are you looking at?
May I finish?
Yeah, it was just one about the Catholic.
Yeah, that's fine. We can talk about Catholics later on, okay? So in any event, there I was at school, and right across the street is Santa Anita Racetrack. So it was a very strange, I loved it, though. I mean, I shouldn't say it was strange. I always thought it was exciting. But I just can't even imagine now, any parent today letting their kid ride their bike home from school when they're, say, 10 or 11 or 12, which is how old I was, riding your bike home from school in the middle of racetrack traffic that is just about that time letting out. I mean, the last race didn't get out till 5:30, but you've got cars leaving that parking lot, and across the street is this grade school. And I remember riding my bike home from school right across Huntington Drive and down and then up Baldwin, and every single, you know, a quarter mile, every tenth of a mile, I'm somewhere around that racetrack because our house was behind the track, and I had to follow the contours, the border of the racetrack to get to my house. And there were cars from all over California, Southern California.
Yes, and a lot of, what did your father say, the racetrack bums? Yeah.
Well, Dad, what do you mean? Okay, there were a few of those guys, but there were all kinds of people. And there we were on our bicycles. Today, it would never happen. Today, they wouldn't allow it to happen. Today, they'd probably close the track down, maybe burn it down, for all I know, you know.
Yeah, it did, well, because of the pervert factor.
Now, what about a pervert factor?
What about the pervert factor? What would that be?
Well, they're asking about the fact that these racetracks they draw these undesirable types.
Well, yeah, I mean, you've got all kinds. Anytime you are bringing 30 or 40,000 people together in one place, you got all kinds of people. And yeah, I saw all kinds, but I'm just telling you, as I look back on that, and I think back as I'm an 11-year-old kid, I'm on my bicycle. Okay, see you guys later. School lets out. We're riding our bikes home right across Huntington Drive. Now, you know, to be fair, the Arcadia police had a cop at every light, but that was more, to change the lights so they could get the traffic out of there fast. They had cops there pushing green lights and red lights and basically controlling the traffic out of Santa Anita so they could get the hell out of the city and get it up onto the freeway wherever it was going as fast as they could. But in the meantime, like around 3:30, here comes all these little Catholic school kids on their bikes, because back in those days, we rode our bikes a lot. I mean, now it's the bus, it's mom and dad. I understand. I just think back on that. If I was a parent and I'm waiting for my kid to get home and I know that he's having to negotiate racetrack traffic on his little banana seat Stingray bicycle.
Do you have one of those?
Yeah, I did. I bugged my parents for one. I'd be sweating bullets.
Well, I think, yes, I'd have to agree. I think, as a matter of fact, when you said burn the place down, I wouldn't burn it down. But I would certainly, I wouldn't even allow my child to ride a bicycle with that. Your parents okayed that?
Yeah. Yeah. Of course. You never said, I mean, that was just a fact of life. You rode your bike.
I wouldn't. Not in a million years would I let a child ride through that. I wouldn't do it. I don't want the phone call. I don't want the phone call. Hello, does your child wear Buster Brown shoes? Yes. Where there's two sticking out of a drainage pipe right now with legs attached to them. God almighty.
Oh, God, Margaret.
Why are you talking like that?
I'm trying to give a little bit of reality to this. I mean, it frightens the hell out of me, Phil.
All right, okay, you don't have to freak people out. God, what a horrible thing to say.
You're telling me if you're a parent, you don't dread that phone call?
What phone call? That my kid's dead?
No, I didn't say that. Did I say dead? I said.
Well, Margaret.
No, I said. The call comes. I'm almost sick with fear thinking about it, and I wasn't a parent then. I was a young woman. The call comes.
Take it easy, Ms. Gray. Here's a glass of water.
Thank you, bud. Hits the spot. So,
all right, would you get on with it, please?
What I was going to say was, the call comes in, hello, hello, is this Miss Gray? Yes. Miss Gray, this is the so-and-so police department. Now, right away, if you're not streaking,
What do you mean by streaking?
Staining.
Oh, God.
Excuse me, Phil. This is the so-and-so police department. Does your son wear the little tiny Cordovan Buster Brown wingtips? Yes, he does. And does he wear corduroy pants with those? Yes. Well, there's two legs that are clad in corduroy with little Buster Browns at the end, and they're sticking out of a drainage ditch. How dare you laugh at something like that?
Can you imagine the cop that makes that call, and they're sticking out of a drainage ditch?
Well, I mean, Mrs. Sanders, that's not that funny.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is. When she starts going into her dramatics, yeah, it's funny.
When she starts going into her dramatics, don't point your finger at me like you're the Wicked Witch of the West.
All right, let's take a break, okay?
Yeah, let's.
We'll be right back. Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL. Next hour, Don Berman resumes his calling of the action at Dickman Downs. Don lost that first race. I should say he called the first race, but he had his money on Daddy and Mommy. And after extolling the virtues of that horse, he called for it to be shot on sight, right there on the track. World famous Phil Henry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
Look at how you are ugly as a kid.
Thank you. Here, the world famous Phil Henry Show, and Kevin Bacon has issued an apology for
his acting.
Well, that what a cheap shot.
Would you shut up, please?
Hey, bud, that he that you do?
Yeah, if you stop doing that, man.
I got off a good line. Everybody wants to beat me up.
You didn't get off a good. What are you talking about?
You go, Kevin Bacon has issued an apology and go for his acting.
Yes, and?
So?
Are you, oh, yeah, right.
Yeah, it was all right, and that wasn't the best line.
You got off a little bit of a cutie. It's not that great, you know, for his act. Okay, fine. Kevin Bacon has issued an apology for his acting. Bud Dickman wrote that. Hey.
Shut up. You get one off that way.
Would you have him stop talking about getting one off, please?
Well, Margaret.
Would you have him not? I don't want to hear that kind of filth.
I'm not talking about that.
Yeah, sure.
Okay, Margaret. You know, not everything has a sexual intention. All right.
Really?
Yeah. Kevin Bacon offered an apology to fans on his Twitter page.
Tell that to him.
I wouldn't look at you if I was going to be sexual.
Well, what's that supposed to be?
Are you going to get offended if he's sexual towards you and get offended if he isn't? Just never mind. Kevin Bacon has offered an apology to his fans.
For his acting.
Shut up. You butchered it.
I'm going to start beating up people, and that includes you, Margaret.
How dare you?
You know I'm kidding, but I'm getting to that point, okay? Kevin Bacon offered an apology to fans on his Twitter. I happen to think the guy's a great actor. I don't know, you know.
A great actor, Phil? You use the word great?
Yeah, I do. A great actor. Any guy that can hold his own in a movie with Gary Oldman, and then he does another movie with another guy. This guy's been in every kind of movie with every kind of actor. He's a damn good actor.
That's a far cry from great.
I call it great. I call it great. He's done comedy. He's done drama. He's done every kind of movie. He's worked for every kind of director. He's worked for Oliver Stone. He worked for John Landis. He worked for a bunch of guys.
Well, that's...
Just, you know, Kevin Bacon offered an apology to fans on his Twitter page and website for retweeting a comment that gave away a following plot twist. I just wasn't thinking, Bacon wrote in his apology as tears stained the page. I'm kidding. No, it didn't.
Let me see that.
No, it didn't. He didn't say that. Kevin Bacon, star of the following, apologized to fans after he revealed a crucial plot point for his show before international audiences would have seen the episode. Bacon retweeted a comment from a fan that revealed the spoiler. A user named Jody Gomes, or Jody Gnome or something, had tweeted approval of a recent plot development, which was a major twist for the show. The actor apologized for retweeting the spoiler. To all the fans abroad and late watchers, I'm truly sorry I retweeted a spoiler. I just wasn't thinking. It won't happen again. But if you'd like to know what happens in future episodes, please email me at... No, he didn't.
Yeah, we don't know if what you're saying is true or not.
It's not true. Bacon also posted a similar apology on his website. He took out a full page of the New York Times. He's got a billboard that's going up next week. And if that doesn't cover it, he's also buying some space on a satellite and having it fly over at a low altitude, just like in Blade Runner, and it can go, Kevin Bacon apologizes!
You kidding?
Yes, I'm kidding. Bacon plays a former FBI agent named Ryan Hardy, who's brought back on the job after a serial killer he helped catch escapes from prison. The killer, Joe Carroll, James Purifoy, has amassed a group of fanatical followers who will do anything to help Carroll succeed in his plot against Ryan. Further complicating matters is the fact that Ryan became involved in a relationship with Joe's ex-wife. Wow.
That's the part that's sick to me. That's why I can't get into that show, because he's a police officer who's chasing a serial killer whose job, essentially, if you're a serial killer, if you can call it having a job, is to kill and kill and kill. And this cop, while he's looking for him, has decided to get some of the low-hanging fruit, if you know what I mean.
Right. So what does that say about him?
Well, it says that his morals are not... I don't think his morals are the most upstanding.
You're probably right.
But what are you talking about? He's gonna have sex with a guy and steal a killer wife.
What are you talking about? Would you speak English and not ape?
Yeah, see, you laugh at that.
That's kind of racist, Mr. Henry.
How is that racist? He's a white man.
Would you speak English and not ape?
Finally, I get a laugh.
Okay, Margaret, you know, your job is not to get the laughs, okay?
Well, I got one anyway.
Yeah, you talk about me, speak ape. What do you think you talk?
I don't know. What do you think I talk?
Would you two grow up? All right. But, God! Bacon plays a former FBI... What were you going to say about him?
I was going to say, here is a cop that has lowered himself into the sewer to have sex, to take his pleasure, if you will, to take his pleasures where he might, with the wife of a dirty, low-down, no-good... I just think it's wrong.
Sends it wrong. If I agree with that, probably sent a wrong message.
Well, we're going to get on here, Doug Danger, in a moment. We'll talk a little bit about television in the next hour. Talk about this and other TV shows. If I may get on with this, though, Bacon posted a similar apology on his website. He plays a former FBI agent, blah, 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 blah. Further complicating, he's having sex with this killer's wife. Williamson told Entertainment Weekly that he mentioned to his agent, I want to get someone like Kevin Bacon when discussing the part of Hardy. His agent replied, what about Kevin Bacon? The show is quickly approaching the end of its first season, the last episode set to air April the 29th, but the following network, Fox, has already renewed the show for a second season. That's great. Bacon broke out with his lead role in the 1984 film Footloose. Do you remember that?
No, I don't remember that one.
I loved it. Footloose, doo-doo. Remember that? He was a dancer?
Yeah, I thought it was a really... I didn't dig it.
Yeah, well, that doesn't surprise me. Why didn't you like it?
It doesn't surprise you, huh?
No, because you're always... You don't... Anything that people like, you don't like.
No, that's not true at all. I just didn't dig Footloose, hot on the heels of Flashdance. Was that it, Flashdance? The one that was the big dance movie. And then this guy comes along with Footloose, and the thing that bothered me was he's a cowboy, or he's working on tractors, and he's bringing in the hay, but his real dream is to dance on, like, Broadway? I just...
Why not? You'd have a dream like that.
Okay, fine. Fine. 877-876-PHIL. I don't know. The world-famous Phil Henry Show back next hour with Doug Danger on television and television reviews.
Footloose, footloose.
Phil Henry.